On today's show, Max Strus, Grant Williams, and other players who are in the playoffs who the Cleveland Cavaliers should look to steal this summer. That's all coming up today on a new episode of Locked On Cavs.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
The music you heard on the way in is from our friends at Astro Radio. I'm Chris Manning. That man is Evan Damerel. We're both covering the Cavs. We're both credentialed. You can check us as me out at places like SB Nation, Cleveland Magazine, The Just Basketball Show. Evan is the founder of independent site Right the Nuclid. Evan, is that a France piece of Nike merch you're wearing right now? Good for you.
I've worn this several times on this show, and I'm surprised you're just now noticing it.
You know, we're in a Chris Manning is more alert and aware and engaged. You know,
there should be a third star, but we all know how the World Cup ended.
Yeah, with Lionel Messi winning. Thank God.
Rigged.
Okay. Sorry. One of the best sports games I've ever watched in my life. So that was great for me. Want to remind you, by the way, you can catch NBA games on SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search the Cavs or whatever team you want to listen to on a given day. All right, today's show, segment one, we're going to talk about Max Strus and why he would make sense in the Cavs. Segment two, we're going to talk about Bruce Brown and Torrey Craig, two Western Conference wings who would make some sense. And segment three, Grant Williams and George Niang. These are all five players who are in the playoffs or were in the playoffs in the case of Craig and Niang, who could make some sense as free agents for the Cavs in the summer. Evan, this is not a class I love, but these are some of the names I think you can go through and say that guy can make some sense. I want to start with Max Strus. I have been really like Jimmy Butler is the star of what Miami is doing. Bam Adebayo is playing fantastic as well. But you watch Max Strus, he's closing games, he's playing great defense, he's handling being attacked at times, he's hitting contested threes, he's playing up to the moment. This is like the kind of guy you look at using your mid-level exception on in some way, shape, or form. This is a guy that if you put him on the Cavs, it's like, oh, like this guy, he's a cog in the Miami machine. Certainly, maybe some concerns about what he would look like outside of Miami. But this is a guy that, in theory, you look at him and say, this guy makes a ton of sense as a possible wing for the Cavs.
Yeah, he does. As you had noted, it's hard to imagine what Strus fully looks like, especially on defense outside of the Miami system and ecosystem, just because it's the Heat, man. They just find a way to rise from the dead and become just like a winning team every postseason. But for reference, actually, no, I'll talk about this in a second. But yeah, on paper, what he provides you just in terms of three-point shooting and off-ball scoring and the fact that he's a low usage player in terms of just having the ball in his hands and can act as a primary spot up shooter for the Cavs and just a guy that can stretch the floor, especially if they want to stick with 2 7-footers out there, makes a lot of sense. Like he can start, he can come off the bench, he can kind of be fluid and rotate through a lot of these variables and facts. And, you know, the starting three spot doesn't have to be set in stone. And also it doesn't matter who starts, it matters who finishes. And Strus at least gives you better, more reliable options than maybe what you got from Dean Wade or especially Lamar Stevens in terms of perimeter shooting, or even Isaac Okoro as well. Like he's much more reliable and I think also is more playoff tested because he has all that experience with Miami up to this point, and that's super helpful. But Sean Devaney of Heavy.com noted that it's looking like Strus will command a contract that's similar to what Caleb Martin got last year for the Heat, which is 3 years, $20 million. If you're Cleveland, if you're able to entice him to leave the system and the setup in Miami and what they have going, that's a pretty good price tag because that fits in nicely with your mid-level exception. And it still gives you some financial wiggle room because I'm sure you'd have to go a little bit over just to maybe entice him to leave Miami entirely because, again, there's a lot of factors both on and off the court with leaving the Heat. But if you're Cleveland, if it's somewhere in that ballpark range that Sean Devaney mentioned, like that's a pretty good spot because that fits in nicely to your mid-level exception and something to work with. And like I wouldn't hate the signing of Strus if that's like what the Cavs try to do this offseason in terms of free agency as one of maybe the two wing type players that they sign.
Well, the part of this I look at is you look at his just three-point shooting numbers, 7 attempts a game, 35% this year, shot 41% last year on 6.5 attempts per game. 6'5", 215, so not like the 3-4 kind of big hybrid wing you might want, but like will battle, will stack up. I think if there's concern, Evan, in kind of looking at him and projecting him onto Cleveland or some other team that's not Miami, what the Heat do is kind of specific to Miami. So would you have concerns about taking this guy and putting him into something that looks very differently, than what Miami does and what Cleveland does, with how there's not as much kind of off-ball action and screening, and the coaching is a little bit different? Would you have concern about that part of getting Max Strus?
I mean, the coaching is a lot of different just because Eric Spoelstra is one of, if not the best coach in the NBA currently. So there's that aspect. I think, as you said, the offensive stuff, a lot of off-ball actions, off-ball screening and things like that, just in order to get creative or more so open shots for those shooters for the Heat, like that's a little bit different. And I wonder if, and I think about how JV Bickerstaff always talked about how this is a copycat league and teams are just taking examples from one another and trying and applying different things, like maybe they try to copy of what made Strus successful with the Heat if they were to acquire him. But I do think that would give me pause as well, because you obviously aren't bending your entire offensive system to a role player, hoping the role player can fit into what you kind of have, obviously some with some adjustments and fine tuning just to make things easier for everybody in between. So I want to say yes, but no. I know it's like it is a 50-50 answer. Like, I want to have faith that the Cavs would be able to figure out this situation and just kind of adapt a role player that gives you a lot of what you need in terms of just three-point shooting. But your point about how Miami just functions as a team on either end of the court is near impossible to replicate, because you don't have Jimmy Butler, you don't have Bam Adebayo, you don't have the tactical fortitude of Eric Spoelstra out there, especially in a postseason scenario like this. So there's a lot of negatives in play that the Cavs just can't control, clearly, but there are also some things that give you reason for optimism as well, I would say.
How much would you use of your MLE to get Max Strus if we're going to put a dollar figure on this?
So if it is 3 years, $20 million, that'd be about $6.6 million per year. If you can get him for, so Cleveland has, let's say it's a little bit above $12 million for their full mid-level exception. If you gave Max Strus, let's say $8 million annually, and let's say it's like a 3 year, $24 million deal, because again, you have to sweeten the pot a little bit to get him to go from Miami to Cleveland and an Eastern Conference Finals team, possibly NBA Finals team, to a team that got flamed out in the first round. So you have to give him a little bit of incentive here. So if you do 3 years, $24 million, I think that's pretty fair. You could expand upon it if you want to. You could do 4 years, $32 million if you want to as well. But you obviously don't want to break the bank on a role player, maybe a guy that, like, again, isn't like that super franchise altering talent. He's more of a complement for what you're trying to build with this pretty top heavy core four you've assembled.
I might say he's worth 9 or 10 a year.
Just because 3-point shooting at the wing position is such a premium commodity.
Yeah, that, and just like, I think defensively, this is a guy that's going to be able to play for you in the playoffs. You're not going to, there's guys on this list that we're going to talk about, this on this list I've kind of made up for us, that I think there's concerns about what they look like defensively and how they can hold up. I think we've seen Strus hold up and look really solid defensively in some of these moments. He's competing and he's staying in front of guys and he's forcing passes in tight situations. Like, you know, again, is there some post-Miami rub that you might have to worry about? I'm not saying, I think there's a chance that happens. You know, there can be some concern there. I wouldn't doubt that, but I do also just think what we've seen from him would make me believe that this is someone who absolutely will translate to another level. Maybe some adjustments and things, but I think will be a useful player and could be worth 9, 10 a year. And I think for a team like Cleveland that just so desperately needs something like this, there are guys on this list, Evan, I think Strus is one of them, where it's like, okay, I could see how this team that they're coming from could lose that player. The Cavs are in a spot where I think, like, even if it costs a little bit more, I could see some of these guys making a ton of sense for them. But we're going to talk about some more guys after this break. One guy in Bruce Brown who they like last year, and another one in Torrey Craig, who had some issues staying on the floor in the playoffs, but I think also might be worth a long. So we'll talk about those guys after this. Got to tell you, though, about our friends at eBay Motors. Today's episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. For championship team, it's all about making sure every player is the perfect fit. That's why we're talking about fits today. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay's guaranteed fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. And after all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right price on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Broncos country. eBay's guaranteed fit. Only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Excursions apply. Thanks for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Everydayers, we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to look at some numbers that define the shooting guard position for this past year. As we wrap up looking back at that spot, that specifically means some Donovan Mitchell-centric things as we kind of detail how good he was in the 2022-23 season. All right, so Bruce Brown. Evan, the Cavs were fans of Bruce Brown last year. Yeah. Then he goes to Denver. He has a player option this summer. I don't know if he's going to pick that up or not. He's also coming from a team that very well could win the title this year. So does he want to leave that situation? I don't know. But I love how he moves the ball hard up the floor when he can. I love the pace he could bring in that context. I love how he cuts and knows how to play even without being a plus shooter. And he's a rugged defender even if he's not an apex lockdown. I think how he fits with the Cavs and the way he plays would be interesting to consider. His best, the best version of him in Brooklyn really was kind of a specific thing to that team. And I think he's fit really well with Jokic once he kind of adjusted to it and has been awesome in the playoffs. How he fits in Cleveland, I think, would be an interesting stylistic question to some degree. But if he's available on the market and he says, I'm going to try to make more than what I got last year, if I'm Cleveland, I'm calling. I'm absolutely looking at him.
Oh, for sure. For those wondering, his player option's worth about $6.8 million. So if you were him, perhaps you do to turn that down and just finesse that, or maybe just bridge that towards more long-term money, whether it's with Denver or with a team like Cleveland. And to your point, like, if you're the Nuggets, they don't have a first round pick this year, but they do have a second rounder pretty early into the second. It's 40th overall, so about 10 picks into the second round, where maybe they could find a guy that could slot in. Like, I know Christian Braun is playing really well for the Nuggets. Maybe he's a guy who sucks up more minutes, and like, they kind of move on from Bruce Brown in that aspect, or maybe they look elsewhere. Maybe they go buy a late first round pick and try and replace him that way too. But like, the Nuggets do need some bench depth. I don't want to say like they're overly reliant on Bruce Brown in terms of their success, because clearly it's not. It's Nikola Jokic. It's Aaron Gordon just being otherworldly defensively. It's Jamal Murray returning back to form. It's a lot of things that just work really well for Denver. And to your point, like, this is a championship level squad. This is a finals, possible finals team, depending on how this series goes against the Lakers. And he could realistically look at the writing on the wall and say, like, listen, Cleveland was interested in me last year, but I signed with Denver for likely less money. Let's something that I've heard quite often when it comes to the Cavs and just them flirting and trying to convince free agents to sign with them is usually they have to pay a little bit more than what some other teams may have to provide, just because it's Cleveland and there's still some questions compared to what else that a team like Denver's may be working with. But I wouldn't hate the Brown fit. You and I were talking about him last year, that he is like an idealized version of what he was in Brooklyn, is what we wanted Isaac Okoro to maybe evolve to as a player, but Okoro just didn't have that leap. So I don't want to say there's redundancy if you have like a Okoro and Brown on your roster. I do believe the reports that the Cavs maybe try to look at to move a Okoro to maybe upgrade the wing position or just upgrade the roster overall this summer. And in the event they maybe do that, like, yeah, maybe they look at Brown. He's only 26 years old. Like you said, he plays really well off of Jokic. And I think if the Cavs maybe want to empower Evan Mobley a little bit more as like that offensive hub, similar to how Denver uses Jokic at times, like, maybe Brown is a guy who could feed off really well from that. And as Chris had noted, like, last year with Brooklyn, he hit 40% of his three-pointers. That was only on 1.3 attempts per game. He's hit, in the regular season at least, about 36% of his three-pointers on a shade over three attempts per game. So, like, there's marginal improvement, of course. It could be better, but like Chris said, like, he's not like a just pigeonholed into one specific spot. And that's what I like about Bruce Brown as a player, is he's very multifaceted, whether it's playmaking, just ruggedness on defense, the physicality he plays with. He's able to provide you some three-point shooting. It's not like otherworldly, but He's like a jack of all trades, master of none. And I mean, every team could use a player like that. It's kind of similar to what Larry Nance Jr. was with the Cavs a few years ago and kind of what he is with the Pelicans now. So I would not be opposed to the Bruce Brown signing. It just depends on, does he want to leave a championship situation and how high is the asking price? And also, is Denver willing to kind of match that? I know he's going to, if he declines the option, he's an unrestricted free agent, but like, I'm sure him and his agent could approach Denver and say, like, okay, the Cleveland's offering me this. Are you willing to match or maybe go above that or do some other things for me just so I can stay with the Nuggets? Because it is a good situation to be in, because Denver is one of the best teams in the league. And why would you want to leave that?
35.8% on threes this year on a career high 3.2 threes per game. Certainly seems like the Denver situation is ramp that part of his game up. Evan, just give me a name. Would you, in a vacuum, prefer Strus or Bruce Brown?
Bruce Brown, just because I think I enjoy Bruce Brown's game more, and I've seen him play physically, defensively with not just Brooklyn and Denver, but with Detroit as well. Whereas Strus, I've only seen him have success with Miami system, and that gives me pause on whether that's like applicable to other situations or it's just more of a product of Miami being the Miami Heat.
I like how I asked you to give me a name and you gave me an explanation. I respect that about you. Torrey Craig, really cheap option probably. Again, he's could be staying in Phoenix because they have Durant and Booker, and like that team is going to have sky high expectations. It's also Phoenix. That's a nice place to live. Can really defend well. It would be the right size of wing you want, but it wasn't always in the playoff rotation for Phoenix in the playoffs. Kind of got pushed out of there, but I think he would fit well if you were to leave Phoenix. I think it could. This is a kind of an older veteran signing. This is older. This is less of like a maybe like 3-year fit. This is maybe just a 1-year stopgap kind of thing because he is 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some concern there. I like the idea of Torrey Craig as, I think, a lesser price than what you would pay for Bruce Brown or Max Strus. But I think this is a name that I would have in my big list for the Cavs, even if I think I would have him below Strus and below Brown on my big board.
I agree with you. I like Torrey Craig. I liked him with the Pacers last year. And when the Cavs were trying to get Caris LeVert, or when those talks kind of just came into the ether, I was wondering like, oh, maybe the Cavs could try and pry Torrey Craig from this situation as well. But as you noted, like, he was traded to Phoenix in February of last year instead, and for Jalen Smith in a second round pick. So yeah, he's not like a super plus 3-point shooter, but like you said, he's a bigger forward, so he's more that 3-4 size, which the Cavs kind of need. He didn't play a ton in the playoffs, as you had said as well, but maybe he does see a more clear situation because there's a lot of questions about Phoenix this summer. Maybe they go get James Harden and they somehow move on from Chris Paul, even though it's reported they are going to move on from Chris Paul. Like, a lot of weird stuff. The Suns are a very volatile team who need to kind of figure themselves out. And Craig could be a cheap, cost-controlled depth piece when they do figure out if they have to, like, give up a lot of what the remaining assets they have, because they gave up the farm to get Kevin Durant. They gave up quite a bit to get Chris Paul to begin with. So they're entering the end game of what moves they have available. And when you're a team in that situation, you need to like latch on to this cheap, high upside depth. Not high upside, because like, as you said, Craig is a little bit older as a player, but like, you at least know what he is. You have familiarity with him. And he can be serviceable for you in the regular season, and maybe his role is diminished in the postseason like it was this year for Phoenix. But again, we're talking about wing players and maybe aren't like the sexiest options, but the market is so incredibly thin that the Cavs do need to take these long looks at these guys and say like, okay, do we have a realistic shot? And yeah, I think they would. I think Cleveland would, depending on how much money they're willing to offer, but I wouldn't offer the farm for Torrey Craig clearly. But it would be a nice pickup if we're talking about like big name hunting, let's say like they grab Grant Williams, from who we'll talk about in the next segment, and then like they get Torrey Craig as well. Like, that's a pretty, not like a perfect offseason, obviously. Like, there's some flaws with both of those guys coming to Cleveland, but it's a lot better of a spot than the Cavs were in prior to signing either of those players.
I agree. I would go in this order: Brown, Strus, Craig, but I could be convinced to Strus number one. All right, we're going to talk about Grant Williams and George Tang after this. So Grant Williams, Evan, is on this list for one reason. I look at him And I think I don't totally understand why Boston doesn't like play him in game one. I understand they go seven deep and they want to play, but he should be like ahead of like Peyton Pritchard and sometimes Sam Hauser and whatnot in their rotation. He's going to be due money. They're going to pay Jaylen Brown a ton of money, one would assume. If there's someone who's going to get poked free out of that situation because mm-hmm. Boston just has to consider their finances, considering where the cap is going to go, Grant Williams might be that guy. And there are some things about him and his game that I think you have some concerns about. I don't think this is like a slam dunk option. And I'm very mm-hmm. curious with that. There's a limit on how much I want to give. I would not want to feel like I'm like paying a lordly sum for Grant Williams. But if he were to become available and you could finagle him as Boston's just trying to move on for whatever reason, and Missoula doesn't seem to love him very much as the head coach over there, I would be pretty intrigued to be looking at him as someone that I could get into.
So, full disclosure, like, I really like Grant Williams as a player. He's a bigger forward who can play that 3-4 spot. I'm confused as well why he's not getting minutes, especially against the Heat, because he would kind of make sense with some of the bigger bodies that Miami is throwing at Boston at times. I did say with you prior to recording that the Celtics win the championship, and I'd still consider firing Joe Mazzulla just because it feels like the Celtics are just failing upwards with him as the coach. Like, they're winning in spite of the coach. That's the better way to put it. But Williams on the season, for the regular season at least, is averaging 8 points, 8.1 points, 4.6 rebounds, 1.7 assists on 45.4% shooting overall from the floor. He's hitting almost 40% from three-point range in about 26 minutes per game. He fits that mold of like jack of all trades, master of none, where he can play that 3-4 spot for you. He could start at the three. He could come off the bench for you, depending on how JB wants to run the rotations. And he would be kind of that idealish pickup because he gives you a little bit of everything. And I think just, again, he's a bigger body, fits into kind of that mentality and ethos of how the Cavs maybe like to play 3-5 at least. And sure, it wouldn't be like a perfect fit next to Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. But again, the market's thin and it's hard to kind of maybe find that quote unquote perfect fit. But like, there's much worse options. And heading into the regular season, like, Grant Williams would be the best option as the starting three for the Cavs if he was on this roster.
I kind of think he would be a good fit, though, because he's 6'6". He's 236. He can defend threes. Maybe can unlock some smaller ball stuff with Mobley. Is going to help you with some of the rebounding stuff. He's a 39% three-point shooter last year, 40% the year before, 41% the year before. This is like a bona fide actual shooter. Like, this is someone that I think like would fit really well. And the biggest thing on this roster is wing, and I think wings that are big and can defend up and do all this stuff are very, very big needs, very clear needs for this team. This would make to me like just an absolute ton of sense to see what he's doing, to see what he, mm-hmm. to see kind of what you need. And if this is the kind of thing that you can do some real stuff with to have him make sense between Mobley and between Allen. Like, this is the kind of guy that I think would be the piece. This is kind of what I think you thought Dean Wade might be if you're Cleveland, it just hasn't worked out that way.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, I harped about the lineup of Mitchell at point with like LeVert, Wade, and one of Mobley or Allen in the lineups, and just finding so much success in those units for the Cavs. If you plug Grant Williams in Dean Wade's spot, like, I think you hit a completely different level, because one, Evan Mobley covers from him pretty well. Like, if he can't fully defend the four, but I think he has at least the size to do it. It could be a learning process, but he certainly hits a higher apex than what Dean Wade or especially Lamar Stevens gives you just as a player.
I'm very curious to see if he gets poked.
See, you said you wouldn't give the farm to him. I would, if I were Cleveland.
What are you defining as? This is the thing. What is like the number?
I would give the full mid-level exception to Grant Williams.
I think it might be more than that. This would be like a sign and trade, and I think it might be more than that, like 15.
Oh, you think so? That's interesting
this
to
is
think
a,
about.
This is a 24-year-old player.
I know. He's 24 years old. He plays a premium position. Again, provides you a little bit of everything. He plays hard on both ends of the floor. Yeah, he has had viral moments, like we know, against Cleveland, where he said, I'm going to make them both, and he missed both of them. Just awesome moment. He's had a couple just frustrating moments apparently like that for the Celtics this season, but yeah, you're going to have to pay the price. But if it's restricted free agency and the Cavs say like, okay, we're going to offer them the full mid-level exception, and the Celtics are like, yeah, you know what? We don't want to match that, or like don't want to get into the minutiae and the brass tacks of a sign and trade scenario because they have such an expensive team to begin with. Like maybe they just let him walk for some reason, just because this is also the product of Boston just having all those first round picks, drafting all these dudes in the first round and not having enough money or roster space to keep them all. So like they're going to have to say goodbye to some of these dudes. And it's not like the kid they traded to San Antonio for Derek White, Romeo Langford. This is like a different loss for them, but it could be somewhat similar where like the Celtics just don't really have much to lose. But I guess in this scenario, we're like, okay, we already have enough on this roster, and like, we're not going to, like, clearly Grant Williams isn't part of our plans in the postseason. Like, we need to course correct and look elsewhere to round out our bench or just kind of flesh out whatever else we have on this team. Cause them playing 3 point guards off the bench is surprising to me.
The other name on here is George Niang, who is with Philly. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in Philly. You know, is he a little bit redundant with Dean Wade? I think perhaps, but I think this is like the kind of thing, if like you use Dean Wade in a trade and you want to find this kind of player and adjust, to me, this is the kind of guy I would look at to see if you get him for at a reasonable number. This isn't a needle mover. This is probably number five, Evan, on my list of guys here, but I think he's, if you adjust the roster a little bit, I think it could make sense.
It does make sense, and he could be a toss-up with Torrey Craig for me. Like, I know Craig provides you the defensive stuff, but Niang, for what it's worth, has hit quite a few of his three-pointers in his NBA career. He's hitting 40.3% for his career. He hit 40.1% last year on about five attempts per game and about 20-ish minutes per game or so. As you had said, just looking at like his playoff numbers, he only played about 14.3 minutes per game this postseason for Philly. He's 29 years old, so he's a bit of an older player too. But like you said, he's in that similar-ish role to what maybe what you envisioned and hope with Dean Wade. And if it's a cheaper, more cost-controlled option, or as you said, if like you use Dean Wade's salary as a part of like a trade package to maybe make an upgrade elsewhere, like Niang wouldn't be an awful, awful signing. And as you said, who knows what Philly's going to do? They're in flux right now trying to find a new head coach. Maybe James Harden leaves for Houston or somewhere else, and they have to course correct and look elsewhere, and maybe they try to make an expensive move somewhere else. And similarly to Phoenix, like the Sixers are going to be somewhat limited financially. And so maybe guys like Niang will sign with Philly at a lower price because it's probably a more guaranteed path because you're playing with the league MVP and Embiid, and maybe it's a new coach changes the scenery, but he's a toss up from you for like the fourth or fifth best option of the names we discussed, just because of that three point shooting aspect, which I think is a little real.
Interesting summer coming up for the Cavs. Let's see if any of these guys from the playoffs maybe come on the radar. We'll be back tomorrow. Want to thank you again for making Lockdown Cavs your first listen every day. Every day is back tomorrow talking about some numbers with the shooting guards. We'll talk to you then. Thanks again to Jake Stevens for his production.